I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's Thursday, and that means it's time for sports with Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai.
So we are in the NBA playoffs now, and that means plenty of good games to watch, but what else is going on?
Well, this week, Farai, believe it or not, gambling has made headlines because of a former NBA All-Star and a former NBA referee, and that is topic number one for our Sports Bloggers Roundtable today. Joining me, Kevin Figures, who blogs for AM570Radio.com, and in a moment we'll be joined by D. Will, who blogs at SportsOnMyMind.com. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fine. Listen, let's start with Charles Barkley, the former NBA star, Hall of Famer, and current commentator for TNT, whose gambling jones made headlines when the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas took legal action to get old Chuck to cough up $400,000 that he owed after he lost at their casino. So a red-faced Barkley finally did pay up and then said maybe he'd better lay off gambling for a while, joking that he'd bet millions and saying that he could afford it. So here's the question. Should Charles be a poster boy for Gamblers Anonymous? I mean, do you think someone can just quit for a year or two and be okay if they admit to having a problem with gambling?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody who's ever had any kind of addiction can just go cold turkey that way, especially somebody who's been doing it for as long as Charles said he has been doing it. Somebody that has as big a problem is that it's too hard to go from hitting the tables as much as he does. He says he doesn't bet on games. I'd like to believe him. But, going to the tables, going to gambling, slot machines or what have you, to say he's just going to go cold turkey and not going to do it anymore, I find that hard to believe.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because he's become a bigger personality than he was as a player, if that's even believable. But he seems to have accomplished that with his role on TNT, covering the games and all the commercials that he's in. A very funny guy, there's no doubt about that. But here's the question. He is a private citizen, Kevin, and he's not in the league. So if he bet his money and lost it, should the NBA have anything to say about it just because he's so closely associated with the game?
I don't think so. I think you're right in assessing that he is a private citizen. He's not a member of the league. He shouldn't have to follow the league's rules or standards saying that he shouldn't bet. Now, if he were betting on games, yes, it would make a huge difference. But apparently there have been no rumors and no claims saying that he's bet on games. He just likes to gamble at tables or what have you. So in that sense, no, the league shouldn't take any action against him.
I would think you're absolutely right. We're going to try to get D. Will to join us in just a moment to talk about this. One more question on gambling before we move on to another part of the gambling story, Kevin, and it's this. Is gambling a serious issue, legal or otherwise, for the league, do you think?
Overall, I don't think so. I haven't heard any major rumors outside of the next topic we're going to get into, I'm sure, which is Tim Donaghy. With other players, I don't believe that gambling is really a major issue as far as players go.
All right, let's talk about Tim Donaghy because you just mentioned him. Gambling, certainly a big problem for the former NBA referee who is awaiting sentencing as we speak. In fact, he could get up to 25 years for his part in betting on games that he refereed. But now his lawyer is really blowing the whistle, claiming that relationships between players, officials, and coaches affected the outcome of games, and he says it's not just gambling. Now, the commissioner, David Stern, denies that, of course, and said after a league investigation, they were certain that Donaghy was the only referee taking payoffs and betting on games that he officiated. So is this just smoke from a desperate man, or is there fire here, Kevin?
I'd have to believe there's at least a little bit of fire. I find it really hard to believe that Donaghy would be the only referee taking part in this kind of situation. There's too much at stake, too much going on. Now, to the extent where maybe players or coaches may be involved, that I'm not so sure about. But to say he's the only official involved, I think we'd be a little naive to believe that.
Well, we're joined by D. Will. Now, D. Will, you with us?
Yes, I am, Tony.
You know, we've been talking about gambling. I don't know how much of the conversation you've had a chance to hear. Well, you know that conspiracy theories, D. Will, are legendary in the NBA, especially at playoff time. And now this gambling angle, so to speak, is just throwing a little more oxygen on the fire, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Actually, the charges that are being levied by Tim Donaghy's lawyer are part of the original charges that he levied, and people seem to forget that. He said exactly the same thing early on in the investigation of him. That got watered down to referees gambling at casinos, and that was from a statement from David Stern and the league offices. But these charges of player-referee-coach collusion were made early on, and they're being brought up again.
At the very least, D. Will, would you think that the league would be extra diligent in monitoring to make sure that such behavior isn't happening now and won't happen in the future because of what's been coming out?
They should be diligent, Tony, extra diligent. However, the NBA has a history of saying that they are being diligent and at the same time kind of glossing things over. They've done it with gambling in the past. They've done it with their drug programs, and this is kind of par for the course for them. But I would hope that they would somehow be extra diligent.
I wonder, Kevin, is it just my imagination, or does it appear that when it comes to the issue of gambling, that the NBA seems to be front and center above, let's say, baseball or football or hockey? And if you agree with that, how much do you think it has to do with people like Charles Barkley or going back to Michael Jordan, who made no bones about the fact that they liked to gamble? It's what made them competitive.
Well, I think you look at football as such, it's more, they don't know about, nobody will come out and explicitly say that it's driven by gambling, but we all know that it really is. And the NBA is a little bit different. And when it comes to like former players, like you said, former players have been outward about the fact that they gamble, and a lot of them do it after they've been out of the league, and none of them have really been caught doing it on their own sport. So I think that's the biggest issue when it comes to this, is that none of the guys have been accused or convicted of actually doing it in their own sport, and so I don't think the NBA has a big issue with that.
All right, let's move on to another gambling topic, although this one certainly is not illegal. It has to do with the lottery, which the NBA just held this week. And the Chicago Bulls came out the big winners, grabbing the first pick. Now, that means either forward Michael Beasley from Kansas State or guard Derrick Rose from Memphis, who, by the way, is a Chicago native, will be going to the Windy City. Kevin, which one do the Bulls take?
I believe they take Derrick Rose. I've always been a proponent of taking the best player available, even though they already have 18 point guards, you know, on their roster. Derrick Rose has the potential to be a Hall of Fame player, I believe. And even though I think Michael Beasley will be a good player, Derrick Rose is a can't-miss prospect, I think.
What about the guard that they brought in last year? What's his name, Kevin? Help me think of it. I'm blocking on his name. Their current starting guard, besides Gordon.
Are you talking about Kirk Heinrich?
Yeah, Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. If I may jump in here, Kirk Heinrich has a huge contract, which will be really tough to unload, and that's going to be a problem for John Paxson, the general manager of the Bulls. I'll tell you what, the Bulls need an inside presence, and this weekend in Orlando will be a rookie camp, and all the incoming rookies and prospects will be there. And I think people will be very, very surprised by Stanford's Brook Lopez, a true center, a young man, sophomore, and the Bulls need inside scoring badly, an inside presence, offensive presence. And Brook Lopez might impress the Bulls enough to make a jump and kind of surprise everyone and take him.
That's interesting. Now, they don't have a coach, the Chicago Bulls don't. Do you think they will get one before they decide who to take or not?
Well, Paxson has been – oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, D-Will.
No, D-Will can go ahead.
Okay, Paxson has been adamant in saying that he is going to, quote, respect the process, and he's looking for someone who he can communicate with on a daily basis, back and forth, and they can share opinions. And I think he thought he had that Mike D'Antoni, and that was really disappointing for him. So they're going to go all the way back through their interviewing process and start again, and I don't think it matters as much as I personally feel it should. But he feels that if they have the right players in place, and the coach and the general manager, Paxson, have the right communications together, that it shouldn't be any problem fitting a coach in seamlessly.
One more NBA question before we move on to Major League Baseball, and that's this. The number two team is the Miami Heat. They've already sent out signals just today, as a matter of fact, that they might be willing to trade that spot, that
that's
number
right.
two spot, for something else. Kevin, what do you think about that?
When you're in a situation in Miami is when their roster is so as bad as it is, if they can trade down and maybe get a couple more players and maybe even future picks, I think that's the avenue they definitely have to look at. But if there's players there like Michael Beasley or even Jared Bayless, guys like this that can make an instant impact next to Dwayne Wade, they can look at going from, you know, being in the lottery to possibly being back and deep in the playoffs next year. So they have to really consider it. It will be a tough decision no matter what they do.
All right, fellas, let's move on to Major League Baseball. They don't use instant replay, we all know, but the conversation certainly is not going away. Their discussion's ongoing. And this week, in fact, just to make it worse, an umpire, I think it was in the New York game, admitted making the wrong call on a home run ball. It's the second recent incident, I believe. And the question is whether the league will ever use instant replay and how it could be used effectively. How could that be done, D. Will? Can it be done?
Yeah, I think it can be done. Actually, the owners last year voted in favor of instant replay on a limited basis, and Bud Selig turned it down. Okay, if you just have instant replay for, say, home runs, questionable calls where runs can be scored, I think that's the only instance that it should be used in baseball. And they showed just today on ESPN, as a matter of fact, that it took the umpires 46 seconds to make a decision, the wrong decision, where if they had instant replay, it probably would have taken about 20 to 25 seconds.
Well, you know, Kevin, you cannot use replay on balls and strikes. A game would never end. And, my God, I can't imagine a baseball game getting any longer than it already is. Can you?
No, especially a Yankees-Red Sox game that's already 4.5 hours as it is. But you can use instant replay. I don't know if I'd do it on safer or out, because even those close plays can take, you know, you can argue those for years whether somebody's safe or out. But for a home run ball, like last night, A-Rod's ball that clearly went over the wall and bounced back in, how long would it take to really review that on videotape? Maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to come back and make the right call. I think it's more important to get the call right than to just say, oh, it's the human error of the game. That's what makes it so great. I think what makes the game better is getting the calls right.
So you're in favor of replay?
Yes.
Sort of.
And when it comes to home runs or home run or foul, yes.
Yes,
for sure.
Absolutely.
D. Will?
Absolutely. I'm in favor of instant replay.
All right, here's our last really quick one. We've got about a minute left. I'm in Atlanta this week, and home run hero Hank Aaron has been sounding off about Barry Bonds lately, claiming that he, Aaron, is the true home run champion. Now, he later backed off that a little bit, but he did give a speech. He was critical of performance in baseball, didn't mention Barry by name, but seemed to be indicating that something was wrong with what Barry did and that maybe there should be an asterisk or something. My word, not his. What's wrong with Hammer and Hank, guys?
Oh, geez. I just think Henry Aaron wants to keep his name in the spotlight as long as possible. It's good for him, good for marketing, good for everything that is Henry Aaron, and I understand that. At the same time, I kind of wish he would reserve judgment until a trial actually takes place.
All right, one last thing to you, Kevin Figures. I've got about 10 seconds. Do we even care? Should we even care what Hank Aaron says about Barry Bonds now?
Probably not. The number is there. Barry Bonds is the home run king, whether we think there's an asterisk next to his name or not. That's the way it is. So Aaron just needs to, you know, own up to it and just say, you know what, he's the home run king, I'm not.
Hammering Hank. What a guy he was. Interesting situation. Fellas, I appreciate your coming on. Next time we get together, we will probably have an NBA champion. We'll be talking about that.
That's right.
You got it, Tony.
All right,
thanks,
Tony.
Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Okay.
All right.
That was NPR's Tony Cox, and Tony's in Atlanta at Georgia Public Radio. He was joined by D. Will, who blogs at sportsonmymind.com. D. Will was at Vermont Public Radio in Colchester, Vermont. And Kevin Figures blogs for AM570radio.com. He was in our NPR West studios.